This is The Takeaway with Tanzina Vega from WNYC and PRX in collaboration with WGBH Radio in Boston.
All this week, we've been bringing you conversations with some of the women of color changing today's comedy landscape as part of our series, Laughing in Color. And today, we're going to start out in the basement of Union Hall, a comedy venue in Brooklyn. On a recent Friday night, the room was packed for a night of stand-up.
All right, are you ready? Are you ready for your first comedian? This is who you want to see, okay? Now, she is a writer for Late Night with Seth Meyers. Oh yeah, real deal. She also wrote for the Golden Globes. Give it up for Karen Chang.
My dad is about 5'5", and he thinks he looks like Randall Park. He said it one time at the dinner table, and my mom literally went, "Randall is handsome." A really lovely thing that's true that I've learned from my parents, that I think is the one thing I know about relationships, is that if you want it to work, one person needs to love roasting, and the other person needs to love getting roasted. It's kind of like consensual bullying.
At only 24, Karen has already carved out a formidable space for herself in the comedy world. But she's not the only 24-year-old making a name for herself. Ayo Adeburi is a writer for NBC's sitcom Sunnyside, and she does stand-up as well.
It's a tough time to be a black woman. It's an even worse time to be a white guy. No, I mean that. Truly, seriously, to all the white men in the house, I just want to say in solidarity, howdy, brothers, okay? Howdy. I see every single one of you. I do.
And to round out our series, I sat down with Karen and Ayo to find out what the comedy world looks like for young women of color who are getting their start today. And we started off by talking about whether institutions like Saturday Night Live and the Upright Citizens Brigade still hold as much power following the explosion of social media and podcasting.
I wouldn't say that they're not as important. I don't think that that's necessarily true, but I will say, like, as somebody who tried to get through all the levels of UCB and had a hard time doing that because financially, like, I didn't necessarily have the means as quickly or as easily. It took me like multiple years to do that because I was like doing work study and like trying to apply for diversity programs, which they have and which are important, but it still took me like more time. It was nice to not feel like that's the only thing that I had to do, like that I could also be working on my stand-up and it was valid, or it could be practicing joke writing on Twitter or on, you know, on a podcast and like meeting people that way and communicating that way, like to know that I have additional avenues to whatever a career might look like for me, I think is like liberating, especially if you're just like from a marginalized background, or maybe from a background where it's like you show up and you're like, wait, why aren't the things that I historically have known to be funny or believe are funny aren't funny? Why are they invalidated? Why are my references invalidated? Like to be able to have additional spaces where it's like, okay, it's still good. There's still like things that are true here, I think is good.
Karen, what about you? Do you think they're less relevant today?
No, I mean, I completely agree with Ayo. I feel like it's not so much that a certain path has been closed off as it is there are now more paths to get to somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great because that will just, it just means more people can, you know, be at your final destination with you, which is very exciting. I also did a few like UCB classes and I did a Second City thing. And I thought they were very fun. Mm-hmm. I was just more excited by other ways, you know, like the stand-up thing that Ayo was talking about is also such like a vibrant community, I think, right now. And free. So that was a huge perk.
Free to access, you mean?
Free to access.
Free, you don't have to pay for a class.
Yeah.
Meaning that you guys can get in more easily.
Yeah. Emotionally, a lot of labor. Going to some weird mics in the beginning, for sure.
Yeah. But also a lot of emotional labor showing up to an improv class. So it just felt like, this is fine. Like, either way, whatever you prefer, I don't think one is better or worse than the other one. Yeah.
So it sounds like you both had really good experiences on the stand-up scene as well. Or did you consider it also to kind of be a boys' club?
I kind of want to say I feel that way about almost any space I enter, regardless of comedy. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I'm watching politics, if I'm, like, even at, like, a library, like, anywhere I go, I'm like, oh, there are usually more men and there are usually more white men. So when I enter a space like that, it's not like I'm suddenly flabbergasted or taken aback. It's like, okay, great. I've been dealing with this my whole life. I'll just do this again. Mm. And I will also say that I think there are different there are lots of different kinds of open mics and there are lots of different kinds of stand-up spaces. And the ones that we see traditionally depicted in TV are very white male ones, which is fine and fair. And I'm sure maybe that was more what it was a long time ago. But I do think those spaces are changing a lot now. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to keep emphasizing that. So if there are people who want to try, they'll know that, you know, they'll go and like, I or I will be there. You know what I mean? Right. And like our friends will be there and mm-hmm. we're friends with them because they're nice, lovely people.
Yeah. I've found for myself in stand-up also that there is just such a great sense of community and mm-hmm. Maybe this is something that like we're experiencing because we're like a part of a younger generation and, you know, there's attitude shifts just in the idea of comedy as a workspace as well. Like I think it's becoming treated more like that.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Which I think is very exciting. And so there's just a lot of like respect and support for people, you know, just being authentic and working hard and trying to do their thing. And I felt very supported by the women of color that I have experienced in that space. Like, you know, Mitra Johari and Kat Cohen and Patty Harrison were like putting me up on shows when I was like, I don't know anybody.
That was the first show we did together.
Yeah. And like, you know, and people were so supportive and welcoming and kind. And, you know, like I worked with Janelle James on something who's like an incredible experience stand up. And she was like, I got you. Like here, if you have any questions, like if you need anything, let's go. But I've also found that like in that same vein, I think of just like respect and growth in the community. Men have also been very supportive, and maybe that's like not the thing to say on this program.
No, I think that's fair.
I think it's to me, which is exciting, which is like I will have friends who are male stand ups, and maybe they do like a crowd that, you know, like might not be as like, I don't know, like alt adjacent as I might be, or, you know, might have like a different crowd. And they're like, no, these people are going to see you. They're going to be funny. Come and open for me. Come into the space and like, let's show these people that like this is what comedy can look like.
Karen, you also appear on camera in a segment called What Does Karen Know?
Thanks for being out here, Karen.
Oh, yeah, I'm so excited.
All right, ready? Yes. Karen, I'm going to show you a photo of something, and you're going to try to tell us what it is. Ready? Here we go. First one. What is that?
Oh, okay. Oh, my God. Okay, so my parents had this. This is where you can partly call someone, but you can also fax them things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fax machine.
Ah, fax machines. How did that segment come about?
It's very fun. That one, another writer named Matt Goldich came up with it. He's also a stand-up. And our writer's room, everyone is in the same room. It's like this big room that's L-shaped, and we all have our little corners in it. And everyone is extremely kind, and we joke around a lot, and we have deadlines, and after deadlines, we'll fool around and stuff. And one of the running things was, after I joined, if some of the older writers mentioned a reference, they were like, oh, I wonder if Karen will get it. Because if she does, we know this joke is going to land with a larger crowd, I guess. And then Matt turned it into a segment. And yeah, it works. It's a nerve-wracking one because it's completely improvised. I genuinely don't know what I'm about to see, whereas everything else on our show is extremely tightly crafted. But it's also very fun because I'm nervous until I go on stage and then I go, oh, I'm just hanging out with Seth and that's fine.
So, Aya, what's the writer's room like in Sunnyside?
It's incredible. It's really incredible. Cal Penn co-created the show with Matt Murray, who is a white man. But every single writer in the room is either an immigrant, the kids of immigrants, or married to an immigrant. So everybody is directly connected with the immigrant experience. Most of the upper level writers are women of color. There's incredible gender parity in the room. There's just so much diversity, and not in just, you know, like the buzzword meaning that it can often take on. I think a lot of, you know, writers' rooms likes to tout that, like, we have people of color in the room. And, you know, like, the WGA will, like, report stats where it's like, well, now 70% of writers' rooms have people of color. And then if you actually look at those stats, like, 90% of them have only one person of color in them. And I've been in that experience. I'm sure, Karen, you've been in that experience or in spaces like that. And it can be very frustrating and draining, and to have an experience that's the complete opposite of that on Sunnyside is just like the best feeling in the world. Like, it's so supportive, and I think we've all been the one person, you know, like, who's been kind of like alone in the room, or had to, you know, translate things, or you know, just do a lot of emotional labor, mental labor. And I think because we don't have to do that, there's like so much respect and understanding, and it's just a really fun room to be in. And yeah, it's really exciting to say like that's what the future of rooms could look like.
Speaking of that, I mean, one of the things that comedy writ large is dealing with right now is this idea that woke culture is changing comedy, and particularly some male comedians have pushed back a little bit on the idea, sure. PC culture. And I'm wondering what your takes are on that. I mean, like, are there, you know, places where comedians feel like they can't go now where they often may have gone before and it wasn't a problem?
I will say that for me, that feels like the strangest takeaway from what is happening. Mm. Like, I think for me and Io, I'm just sort of like, well, now there are so many more things we can talk about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There are people like, I get to go on stage and I feel very comfortable talking about, you know, my family or like what it's like being Korean American and things in there that are inherently funny. Mm-hmm. And I think this new wave has really opened up a lot of new voices and a lot of new avenues to joke in, which I think is ultimately only good for comedy. And a lot of stuff that people complain about not being able to do anymore, part of me is like, well, we've seen that done a lot. You know what I mean? Like, I'm happy to go back and rewatch stuff. And, you know, like, mm-hmm. I'm excited to do that. But if I see somebody new saying something that I haven't seen or haven't heard, I'm like elated. Like, that's awesome. So to me, it feels like we're opening up new spaces rather than shutting down the entire institution of comedy or however dramatically it gets labeled.
It does get labeled pretty dramatically. Oh, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think I completely agree with what Karen said. Okay, Karen, you're right. I completely agree. Yeah, I mean, the hope would be that you see that and that excites you and you say, okay, wow, like, This is the way things are opening and changing. Now here's even more space for me to play in and learn in and just like listen and watch this thing that we love grow and become more interesting. It's also sometimes frustrating when somebody will be like, oh, you're just like a woke comic. And it's like, I don't identify as that. Like, why are you putting that label on my comedy as well just because I'm a marginalized person? Like, if you're actually listening to what I'm saying, I don't think a lot of it is like quote unquote like woke. Like, I'm saying ridiculous things, and like, yeah, my body is political by nature, so sure, like, you might attach that to it, but I'd like people to examine that as well. Like, why do you necessarily think what I'm saying is woke or like a political act? Like, I'm not. If I wanted to do politics, I would be doing that, but I'm not. I'm like operating in this space for a reason, and I think also maybe the upset isn't with us as young comics, but with an audience at large, maybe feeling the same things that Karen was saying, where it's like, we've seen this before, or we don't necessarily like this, or we see that you're punching down. Wait a minute, what's going on here? And they're just not buying it. They're just not consuming. So, you know, that might not have as much to do with us as just like the nature of consumerism and, you know, what a comedy audience might want to see. Mm-hmm. I think marginalized people also felt uncomfortable going to spaces and, you know, so you couldn't hear them not laughing at things. Now they feel more comfortable going into spaces because there are shows for them, you know, where they feel safe. And so now they're going to choose. They're going to choose if they want to laugh at something or if they don't.
Whose moment is it in comedy right now?
I think it's a lot of people's moments, which is really exciting. And I think, I mean, this sounds like such a silly way to put it, but if you log on Twitter, let's say you do it every day for, I don't know, a month, I feel like you'll see there's like a new star every few days. Like, this person has this thing going on, that person that thing going on. And sometimes it is a white man, sometimes it's not, and sometimes it's somebody you've never heard of. And yeah, I think that's awesome. And you can also, there's so many shows to pick from and so many stand-up specials and stuff to pick from, that there's no real reason to do anything you don't want to do. Yeah. Mm. I love it.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. I think that's exciting. It's like there's people who are going through more traditional channels and people who are taking over alt spaces or people who are just making videos in their mom's house with their mom's wigs. So, yeah, I think it's a lot of people's moments, and it's going to be a lot of people's for a while as we like craft out what our careers look like. I think that's what makes me excited, is like I love my peers and I love what they do, and I'm excited to be in this space. And I think that energy is felt a lot throughout our peer group. Like, I've talked to older comics and, you know, where they're like, it's really cool because, like, we used to have this sort of scarcity mentality where mm-hmm. you thought, like, I could be the only woman of color in the room because you were, you know, or I am the gay one, so I'm the only gay one of the moment. And it's like, that's not true. There's a lot of identities and they're all valid and there's space for all of us to do our different things.
Karen Chi is a writer for Late Night with Seth Meyers, and Ayo Adeboye is a writer for NBC sitcom Sunnyside. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.